Well, there was a very wealthy Irish farmer who loved the dog very much, and his dog died. And so he wanted to go to the pastor of the local Catholic church and have the pastor have a funeral mass for his dog. And so he goes to Father Murphy and says, "Father, I've loved this dog very much, and can you say a little funeral mass for my dog?" And of course, Father Murphy said, "No, I'm very sorry. You know, we don't do funerals for animals. But I noticed that there's a brand new denomination that opened up right down the road. Maybe you can go down there. Maybe they can have a funeral service for you." So the fellow says, "Okay, I'll do that." And as he walked out the door, he turned around and says, "Father, do you think if I offered them a donation of $50,000, do you think that would be sufficient for this kind of a service?" And Father Murphy says, "Whoa, wait a second. You didn't tell me that your dog was a Catholic." Well, you and I are very blessed to be Catholics, because you and I can really experience the mercy and love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In fact, the church has a special day today focusing on God's mercy, called Divine Mercy Sunday. And we're so blessed as Catholics because we can really experience the channels of God's mercy in our lives through the Catholic Church. First of all, we have an understanding of God's mercy because our Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, has written beautifully about the mercy of God. And in fact, he even canonized a saint, Sister Faustina, because she received the apparitions of our Lord back in the 1930s, where he manifested his divine mercy. Some of you might be able to see this beautiful image of Christ that's here in front of the pulpit. Jesus appeared to St. Faustina back about the year 1934. For about 4 years, he appeared off and on to her, and she wrote the visions down in her diary. It's a 600-page diary. I encourage you to read and learn a little bit more about the life and writings of St. Faustina. She was a Polish nun born in 1905 and died at the young age of 33 in 1938. But when Jesus appeared to her, he appeared in this very manner, wearing the long white robe of a priest, his hand raised in blessing, and from his sacred heart were coming forth rays of light, the white rays representing the waters of baptism that wash away our sins, and the red rays representing the blood that he shed on the cross when his heart was pierced by a lance, and the blood of Christ that we receive in the Eucharist, because every time we receive the Eucharist, we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And under the image of our Lord, it said, "Jesus, I trust in thee." So the whole message Jesus wanted to get across to St. Faustina, and through her to all of us, was that Jesus' mercy is greater than our sins. Isn't that wonderful to know? The mercy of Christ is greater than the sins of all mankind. And he asked that on today's day, the Sunday after Easter, the church would officially establish the feast day of the Divine Mercy, which the church has done. So today, the Sunday after Easter, is the day when we thank Christ for his great mercy. And Jesus talked about how we should make a novena from Good Friday to today, and every day pray for special intentions, and that we should say the chaplet of the Divine Mercy every day during the novena. But in fact, we should even say the chaplet every day of our lives. And it's especially good to say it at 3 o'clock, the hour when Jesus shed his blood on the cross for us. If you watch the Catholic channel on EWTN, every day at 3 o'clock, they pray the chaplet of Divine Mercy. In fact, in the Philippines, at 3 o'clock on the radio, they stop everything, the news and everything, and they have the chaplet on the radio, which is so nice in a Catholic country to have these public expressions of faith. When we say the chaplet of Divine Mercy, we're calling down God's mercy upon us and upon the whole world. And it's said on regular rosary beads. And the chaplet only takes 5 minutes to say, but there are some beautiful prayers that we say. On the Our Father beads, we say, "Eternal Father, we offer to thee the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of thy most beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and the sins of the world. And then on the Hail Mary beads, we say, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. And we say those 10 times and then repeat the other prayer. And we say it just like we would do the rosary. It's called the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. If you have a chance, pick up a holy card or a brochure or literature about it and learn how to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And if you didn't have a chance to make the novena this year from Good Friday to today, at least do it next year and pour down God's graces of mercy will come down upon you, your family, and we believe upon the whole world as well. Well, what is mercy? Mercy is when God's love tempers his justice. See, justice is when you give somebody what they're due. Mercy is when you give them really what they don't deserve, namely forgiveness and love. And that's what all of us need from God. And I'm sure all of us can say today that we want God to be merciful towards us. Now, what are the channels of God's mercy in our world today? Well, really, there are three channels of mercy. If you read the diary and the writings of St. Faustina, she says the first channel of mercy is Mary, our Blessed Mother. In fact, we call her the Mother and the Queen of Mercy. Every time we say the Hail Holy Queen, we say, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. And so we can go to Our Lady as the refuge of sinners and ask her to pray to Jesus for us and with us that Jesus will have mercy upon us. I can't tell you how many times as a priest I've met people that came back to this church or converted because of the prayers of our Blessed Mother. Remember, Jesus will not refuse Our Lady anything. At the wedding feast of Cana, he worked the great miracle of changing water into wine at her request. And so if you need God's mercy in your life, ask the Blessed Mother to pray for you and to help you to be truly repentant of your sins. I remember once I met a man who was dying, and he came back to confession on his deathbed after not having gone to church in 20 years. And I asked him, what do you think brought you back at the last moment? He says, Father, well, even though I didn't go to church for 20 years, every night before I went to bed, I said one Hail Mary, that the Blessed Mother would watch out for me. And I believe perhaps that's the reason why I came back to confession and back to the sacraments at this time. I like to describe Jesus as the sun and Mary as the moon. And even though people have lived in darkness and are hiding from the sunlight of Christ, still, when the sun is not out, the light from the sun shines off the moon and can still guide us. And so oftentimes it's Mary's prayer. She's like the moon. She reflects the light of Christ, the holiness of Christ, and can help bring back sinners before their death. So Mary is the first great channel of mercy in our society. The second one is the Eucharist, because the Eucharist is Christ himself. The Eucharist is called the presence of mercy in our very midst. Every time we come to Mass, we come into the presence of Jesus Christ in the tabernacle. We can kneel before divine mercy incarnate, because that's what Jesus is. He is the mercy of God who became flesh and took upon himself our human nature. When we receive the Eucharist, we should say the prayer that Thomas the Apostle said today in today's Gospel, my Lord and my God, because that perfectly summarizes what we believe about Jesus. Jesus is our Lord and our God. And in fact, today on Divine Mercy Sunday, we have the special privilege, I have the privilege of giving First Holy Communion to one of our young parishioners, Brooke, who will be receiving communion for the first time at this very Mass. And the great privilege of receiving our Lord and our God belongs to all of us today as Catholics. And we should never take for granted the presence of Jesus, who is mercy himself. And then the third great channel of mercy in today's society for us is reconciliation. Reconciliation, which is confession, to have our sins forgiven in that beautiful sacrament, it just washes away all of our sins. It's like getting baptized again. In fact, the priest says, I absolve you from sin. Absolve means to wash away. So when we go to confession, our sins are washed away. It's like getting baptized again without having to get wet. Isn't that great? To have your sins washed away in confession. A lot of people say, well, where is confession in the Bible? Well, it's in today's gospel. Jesus appeared to the apostles and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and gave them the Spirit and said, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you hold bound, they are held bound. And so the power of Christ to forgive sin was passed on to those apostles, who in turn passed on the ordination to the other bishops and priests in the Catholic Church down for the last 2,000 years. So every time you go to confession, in that little box or in the reconciliation room, and hear those words, that's the mercy of Jesus Christ that comes to you through the apostles and through the priests down into your very life today, here and now, 2,000 years later. So reconciliation is the third and great channel of God's mercy in our lives. Now, how many of you want Jesus to be merciful to you when you come before him at Judgment Day? Does anybody here want to have God show you mercy? Well, that's not too many people. I hope all the hands are up. I will tell you the secret of how God will be merciful to you when you come before him on Judgment Day. And the secret is, God will be as merciful to you as you have been merciful to other people. Isn't that wonderful? So we set the standard. And so the church gives us ways that we can be merciful towards others. And they're called the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And all of you are familiar with them. Clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, visiting the imprisoned, visiting the sick, burying the dead, and sheltering the homeless. Those are the seven corporal works of mercy. But we also have the spiritual works of mercy. And so ask yourself, are you doing these things? Are you doing the corporal works of mercy? And the spiritual works of mercy are admonishing the sinner, bearing wrongs patiently, forgiving injuries, counseling the doubtful, instructing the ignorant, comforting the afflicted, and praying for the living and the dead. So those are the ways in which we can be merciful towards others. And God will be merciful towards us in the same degree that we have been merciful to our neighbor. And so it's a great privilege that we should be merciful towards others. So this whole feast will depend upon how you and I respond to God's mercy. Now, if you've just noticed, I've given you five ideas, and I've spelled out the word mercy. And so I want the kids to try to remember those five words. And any of the kids that can repeat to me those five words that begin with M, E, R, C, and Y. In fact, I was going to give them maybe some money or something like that, but I think instead I'll give them a blessing on the way out of church in the back. If any of the kids can tell me those five main points I mentioned in the homily, Mary, the Eucharist, reconciliation, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and then how you and I respond to God's mercy in our life. That is how mercy is spelled. Mary, the Eucharist, reconciliation, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and your response and my response to God's mercy in our lives. And so I think we can summarize the Feast of Divine Mercy in those points. And I hope and pray that all of us will experience the mercy and love of God in our lives through the three great channels, and then be merciful towards others as well. God bless you.